pleasure to be back with you again here at Ferris and to be able to share from God's Word with you. Something's been on my mind and heart in the last several weeks. We know we live in a wonderful country. We live in a country where we have great freedom, great liberties, great opportunities, and at the same time, great responsibilities. And even in the midst of all that's been happening, and you know, the Supreme Court decisions and all that's going on, whether it be through the court system or whether it be the president making executive orders and deciding what he's going to do about illegal immigration or about any other topic. There are things that are not going well here in our country. But God has blessed this nation and the people of this nation so deeply and so wonderfully. I wanted to share with you this morning from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and following. And before we read some of that scripture, I just want to use the first verse as a backdrop of what we're wanting to consider this morning. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in the area of Galatia, and he said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Now, many people, if you read those words, just as we've done this morning, without having the context, would think this is a great, you know, a great passage that is telling us that God has created us to be free and that we shouldn't be enslaved by anyone ever. And yet, that's not quite the context. But I want us to consider for a little bit this morning the country in which we live. We have seen a great, you might say, a great history of events. I think back to the time of the colonies. And, you know, here are people who came to this new world. Why? Was it because they wanted to amass great wealth? Was it because they wanted to, send wealth back to the old world? No, it primarily was people wanting to escape religious persecution to come to the new world where they could worship God according to the dictates of their own minds and hearts, or as we might say, as they find in the Holy Scriptures as they understand it. And so that very beginning of this country, the exploration, all that was going on, really was about finding religious freedom here in this country, in this new world. And then it doesn't take too terribly long and we come up against the King of England deciding that the taxes that he was going to impose were going to continue to funnel money back into the old world. And the people up in Boston decided they didn't like that too well. And when his tea shipment was there in the harbor, what did they do with it? We all know the story, right? They disguised themselves as Indians, not really Indians, but disguised themselves as Indians, went aboard the ships, and threw all of those boxes of tea into Boston Harbor as a way of saying to the government of England, "It's not fair to tax us if we have no representation in a government." And it was the beginning, I think, of the development of what would become the United States of America. There was great sacrifice made during the Revolutionary War. Sometimes you may have even heard over this weekend of the suffering of the soldiers at Valley Forge during that winter. in which they didn't have proper footwear, they didn't have boots, they didn't have shoes, they didn't have proper coats, and men, you know, had their hands wrapped up in whatever strips of cloth they could, and their feet as well, and many of them suffered from frostbite and freezing of their extremities, and others got sick with pneumonia and died. There was great sacrifice made on behalf of the people of this country to bring about the country that we live in and give us the opportunities toward liberty and freedom that we have. We could come up to more recent times, to the time of the Civil War. Many say it was all about slavery, and that it was, you know, the getting rid of slavery in the New World, and that was a part of it, but it wasn't really the crux to the whole matter. And in reality, President Lincoln, in issuing the Emancipation Proclamation and freeing all of the slaves, that was a wonderful thing, but those of us who know much about our history know that it took almost another 100 years before that kind of freedom was really gained for all of the people of this fair land. So there was much suffering during Civil War. I remember as a boy seeing on television some of the last survivors of the Civil War still living when I was a boy, and then talking about their experiences, many of them without a leg, because there were so many who in the wounds, the bones were shattered, whatever, and the surgeons, to save the person's life, had to cut off an arm or cut off a leg where it was so badly damaged. It was the only way to save them from, you know, infection, gangrene, and eventually death. Many sacrificed much to preserve this country as one nation. We come to the time of the past century. I want to say this century, but it's the past century now. And you think of World War I and the many of the doughboys who went over to the old world in what was really an old world fight. And yet they went there, and many of them lost their lives and gave their lives to preserve freedom. We come to Second World War. Supposedly, you know, going to be the last war there ever would be. And every time that is said, there's always another one. But my dad served in World War II in the Pacific Theater and in the Navy. I appreciate so much the sacrifices that he and many others have made to preserve freedom in this country. Have you ever thought about those who gave their lives in preserving freedom here? For the most part, we don't think about it too much, because who do we rub elbows with? We rub elbows with survivors and children of survivors. We don't rub elbows with children of those who passed away in those great conflicts, because for the most part, they didn't have opportunity to marry, didn't have opportunity to have a family. And so there's a whole generation that is lost and gone, and they're out of thought and out of mind in regards to there's not a constant presence of family members from them around us to remind us of the sacrifices that they have made. And yet I want us to stop and think about the many men and women, not only World War II, but now even in the conflicts that we have seen where our men and women have been serving in places like Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the many who have suffered. We have great medical capability now, great evacuation teams and all of that, and many of our soldiers are being saved from death, but so many of them have lost eye or limbs or ability to function in their brain. and all with the idea that they were helping to preserve freedom in this country and in this world. I think we do need to pause and give thanks for all of those who have given so much. Would you pray with me briefly, and then we'll return to the Word of God this morning. Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you that you are a loving God. And Father, that you have seen fit to bless this country so wonderfully. Father, with the founding fathers and their decisions and their work at trying to bring about something that would be long-lasting, preserving freedom of every individual. Father, we thank you and we praise you for men and women throughout the ages who have sacrificed so much to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, we give you praise for that. We give you thanks. And Father, we ask your blessing upon each and every one. Those who are still remaining with us, we pray your blessing on them, that you would bring peace and harmony in their lives as well. Now, Father, bless us as we turn to your word this morning and as we consider what you have to say to us about standing firm in our freedom. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's return to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 for a moment. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That last phrase is a good clue to what the context is about. You may remember that as Paul wrote to the churches in the area of Galatia, if you go back to Galatians chapter 1 and take a look, Paul is amazed by saying, I am so amazed that you are, you know, departing from this great gospel that you have received to try and go back to the old system, that is, to a law system rather than grace. And so the context here is the yoke of slavery is not a yoke of slavery where people are in chains and physically slaves. No, this is a yoke of slavery in which they voluntarily go back to the old system of law. I'm going to live well enough and good enough that I'm going to make it by the righteousness of the law. And unfortunately, Jesus made it clear, no one is righteous, not even one. James tells us that if we fail in one point of the law, we are guilty of it all. And before God, we are guilty, so if we're guilty before God, we have no opportunity to have our sins removed except through, as we celebrated around the table this morning, through the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for each and every one of us. And so as we look at this passage again from Galatians chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ set us free by shedding his blood on the cross. Stand firm, the Apostle Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We just need to remind ourselves that God wants us to not be concerned so much about political freedom as about spiritual freedom, the freedom that we have in Christ, and let's not go back to the old law system and think that we're going to somehow earn our salvation by keeping the law, because we can't do it. And it takes the gift of God himself through Jesus Christ our Lord and his blood to wipe away all of our sin debt and to make us pure and holy in God's sight. Without it, we're lost, folks. It only takes one sin to separate us from God. And that one sin is enough to send us from his presence for all eternity. Now, I like to think of it this way. Even if I just told one little white lie in my entire life, one little white lie, that's enough to separate me from God. Because God cannot have anything sinful in His presence. It's the amazing thing to me about what God has done through Jesus. God can't have anything sinful in His presence. And I don't know of very many people who, in their right mind, are saying, I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong. I've never offended God in any way. And even when they say that, you know, you've already offended God by trying to tell Him that you've never done anything wrong. Because God's Word says there's not a single one who is righteous. That all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags in His sight. We can't make it by ourselves. We can't make it by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak, and walking in such a way that we would deserve eternal life to be given to us from God. Can't do it. Can't be done. It took God providing the sinless Lamb that would pay the price for each and every one of us. It's one of the things I love about having the Lord's Supper every Sunday. It reminds me every week that without what Jesus has done, I would have no freedom. I would have no spiritual freedom whatsoever without what Jesus has done in paying the price for my sins. Now, as we are followers of Christ and as we're trying to live for the Lord, yes, the Lord wants to see changes in our lives, doesn't He? Paul talks about we need to put to death the deeds of the flesh. That is to say, that which is sinful in us. We need to wipe that stuff out by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We need to kill those things that are going against God in our lives. But it is not to say that we are going to ever get to the place that by our ability to kill the deeds of the flesh, that which is sinful, even as followers of Christ, that it's ever enough, that we're going to make it that way. We can't make it that way. We don't want to go back to the old system of law and the yoke of slavery, because we have been made free in Christ Jesus Himself, and we are to stand firm in the freedom that we have in Christ and not go back to the old system. Now, we're not going to read all of the scripture, but I want to read a couple of verses further down in this chapter, verses 12 and 13, because it kind of gives us the response of how we as followers of Christ should be living for our Lord and Savior. Paul writes here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, it's verses 13 and 14, not 12 and 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I want you to key in on that first sentence. You, my brothers and sisters, that is those of us who are in Christ, we have been called to be free. What kind of freedom? Political freedom? No. Spiritual freedom. And then he says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, that is the sinful nature. Rather, what are we to do? Serve one another humbly in love. Our response to God's love poured out through Jesus into our lives is to be one in which we are to serve one another humbly and in love. One more verse there. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's Old Testament law, isn't it? Jesus, in another occasion, mentioned those first two commandments. That is, the most important one is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And Jesus you know, when asked about the greatest commandment, said that, which was exactly according to the Old Testament and according to the Jewish tradition. But Jesus paired with it this second one, and he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hinge all the law and the prophets. Folks, we are called as followers of Christ to freedom, spiritual freedom. But in that spiritual freedom, we are to serve one another in love. You know, if we talk for a moment about the church universal, you know, talk about everybody who is in Christ all over the world, no matter what language they speak, no matter, you know, what their jobs are, no matter what their race is, no matter what language they speak, if we talk about the church universal, if we all would be living with this one motto, to humbly serve one another in love, because loving your neighbor as yourself is what God has called us to do, I think we'd see a world of transformation in the way that we view one another, whether it be within the local congregation, whether it be in our area, our region, and how we would be seen and perceived by the world itself. If the church universal would catch on to this and love your neighbor as yourself and serve one another humbly in love. Now there was a great sacrifice made for each one of us through Jesus, wasn't there? And yet the sacrifice that he made for us is so great we could never repay it. We can't do anything of enough value to pay for what Jesus did for us. But what should be our response? That serving one another humbly in love. And it's not like a tally sheet where we're trying to balance enough good against the bad that we've done. No, it's not that. But our response to God loving us, providing for us through Jesus Christ, is such that we are going to live our lives in love, serving one another, and helping others to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, I imagine almost all of us that are here this morning are already followers of Christ. But let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you never have named Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you never have availed yourself of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, why not do that this morning? Why not let people know, I need the Savior. I need salvation. I need to be saved from myself and the sins that I've committed, that I might have the promise of God of the forgiveness of my sins and His Holy Spirit to come in and live within me. If you're here this morning and you need to make that kind of decision, we invite you to do so. We have a hymn of decision, a hymn of invitation, and it's called I Am Thine, O Lord, and it's hymn number 358. We're going to stand and sing together. And if you need to make that decision, we invite you to come. Let us know of that decision this morning. And make Jesus your Lord and Savior as we stand and as we sing.